Terry McLaurin, let's get you the latest on what's going on with Terry and the Commanders. So, for the most part, when this has come up on the show, I think the show mantra has been, it's going to work out. There's no reason it's not going to. And I still subscribe to that. I still think that's the case. But the progress that you're looking for or what you'd want to be happening does not seem to be happening right now. In fact, there was a report over the weekend from Albert Breer about the Terry McLaurin negotiations where he said talks between the team and the star wide receiver are, quote, not in a great place. Went on to say that the two sides are expected to pick talks up again in the next few weeks. But not in a great place is very different than it's inevitable. This is imminent. He's going to get a deal done ahead of training camp. So then today on ESPN with Pat McAfee, Adam Schefter was asked about Terry McLaurin and the Commanders and the ongoing conversation between the two parties. And I would say he feels similarly to what Breer said when he said it's not in a great place. This was Schefter today on ESPN. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Grant and Danny as he discussed the negotiation with McLaurin. But I wish it was at a better place.
Right. I always wonder, you know, who benefits here, right? Whose word are we sort of reviewing or seeing? And, you know, there is this a pressure being applied to one side or the other? I don't know. Or is it just the true state of the union? Whenever info like this comes out about a negotiation where everybody's going to grumble a little bit, everyone's going to not feel as good, this is part of the normal proceedings, but it still remains. He is unsigned, and the contract terms have not been agreed to. So this is part of a lot of negotiations in the history of pro sports have gone this way, be it coach, be it player, be it star, be it middling player, be it free agent, whatever. This is normal, but still, it's our little Terry. And Terry, the association with Terry is no problems. Well, I'm not saying anyone's a problem yet, but this is now a, hey, this is unresolved. The longer it goes that way, the more it creeps toward problems.
Well, it's a problem. The question is it a problem that is going to fix itself before it becomes an issue?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a problem that actually could grow some hair, right? I mean, when your best player on offense and outside of your quarterback, when one of the most important players in your organization is at odds with the team, it really doesn't matter what the date is or whether there's something that needs to be done on the field in a week. Like, that's not a good thing.
No.
And that's very clearly where they are when Breer says they're not close. When Adam Schefter, who you'll hear from in a moment, has issues where he says, I'm talking to both sides, and what I can gather is, like, they're not on the same page right now. So this feels a little bit different than last time. But what I find so compelling about this is, this front office, correctly, which has batted as close to 1,000 as you can since Adam Peters took over and hired a bunch of really good executives like Lance Newmark to come in from other places, has gotten the benefit of the doubt from fans. And I think for the most part, the fan base is team, don't question Adam Peters. When you bring up an issue, they say, Adam Peters will figure it out. Don't question him. He's smart. But it's the same fan base, as you said, where Terry McLaurin can do no wrong. So I would just be really curious, if they're not agreeing at all.
Right. Unstoppable force, immovable object.
You got to pick a side here.
Yeah.
Is it McLaurin, who it sounds like wants elite wide receiver money, maybe close to top of the market money? I think he'd be crazy to ask for like Chase or Jefferson money, but maybe he wants CeeDee Lamb money at $34 million a year or something, or the team that probably wants to pay him down closer to upper 20s with T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk. You know, that kind of, that's a big difference,
yes.
$5, $6 million per year, clearly. And that's going to be our poll of the day. You can go vote right now on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account on our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, three decades, best in class service and experience. In a stare down where the reports are that they're not close, whose side would you be on? McLaurin, who says, I deserve to be paid like one of the best wide receivers in the league, or the team that says, at your age, with where we're headed right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to do that. So you can go vote. This was Schefter on McAfee.
That's a tough one. I know. There is an update. There's no update, which is the update. And that's the problem. The problem is, with this particular situation, I think Terry McLaurin is going to argue that we've seen other wide receivers who his numbers are comparable to, like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and DK Metcalf, get paid over $30 million a year this offseason. And I think the Commanders then can say, yes, but Mike Evans, who also has had comparable numbers, is at $24 million. So there really is quite a difference and a gap between what both sides would want. They have not made any progress. I would think that we'll see if there are any teams that decide to come snooping around Terry McLaurin to see if they could try to pry loose Terry McLaurin, who, by the way, I cannot envision the Commanders moving on from, no matter how disgruntled he may be. Again, it's sort of like T.J. Watt. You can't imagine that these two sides, as far apart as they are today, wouldn't be able to somehow find a way to bridge their differences and figure out a solution. But today, McLaurin and the Commanders are not close. Watt and the Steelers are not close. And those will be two of the storylines that we are tracking as we get ready for training camp.
Adam Schefter on ESPN. Not close. Mm. They have not made any progress. That's what he's saying about this. Now, he did acknowledge the same thing I always say, the same thing I think you think, which is he's going to bet on them coming together. Because it just makes too much sense that the team that wants culture guys and true commanders would keep the ultimate commander, the lieutenant commander, and that Terry, who's been a non-problem his entire career, wouldn't agitate to the point where you've got to trade him. So I think most of us look at it and go, somehow, some way, they're going to figure this out. But when does that start happening?
Yeah, this is what I wondered a few weeks ago when I was like, what's the walk-away point for somebody? Because it exists, right? You don't just get everybody that, well, we love you. Here's a blank check. We got to run a team. We got to run an organization. No matter how valued you are to a given company, they don't just pay you unlimited, right? You don't just get to go $1 trillion like you're Dr. Evil, and then that's the end. There's a point where the team has to say, no, we can't do that. And are you willing to compromise at all? Maybe he's not. So that's something I don't know. Again, the tenor could just be everyone's playing hardball now, but when we get close to training camp, as has happened before, everybody makes nice, all of a sudden the compromise happens, and you know the agent grinding this out and you know keeping everybody apart got him an extra $1.5 million in guaranteed money. I mean, who knows where this ends up? But there is a point where you'd have to go, this is not worth it to us. I mean, and this is why arbitration in baseball can be so ugly, where you get basically people or the team arguing against a player. But what's happening is, if I'm the team, I'm going, you've never had an elite wide receiver season. This may be tough to hear. Your touchdown numbers were great. You never had 1,200 yards. You're not a 90-catch guy. You're not a 100-catch guy. That's not what it looks like. You're not Ja'Marr Chase or CeeDee Lamb or Garrett Wilson last year on a terrible offense. You've never done that. Now, I know there are reasons maybe why you've never done that, but you've still never done that. We can't pay you at the top.
Well, let's take this at the numbers that Schefter threw out there. Which is, because I don't think he just picks these randomly. Somebody's mentioned
something
to him.
Yeah, the comps, yeah.
So he says he wants over $30 million, and he cited DK Metcalf, which is a very reasonable comp. In fact, I said when DK got that deal, well, that's Terry's number. Because if you're the agent, I think they have the same agent, by the way. But regardless, if you're the agent for Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf gets about $33 million, look at their numbers over their careers and productivity. That's where Terry McLaurin wants to be. So let's just say he's looking for $33 million, which, by the way, would make him the fourth highest paid player in the NFL. Now, we can go back to our NFL Economics 101 class with Kirk Cousins years ago, because I can already hear the people yelling in their cars, he's not the fourth best wide receiver in the league. And while that's true, that's not how it works, right? So a guy got paid because he was the most recent guy to get paid in DK, who you feel like you can comp to, and now it's your turn, and that's what you're asking for. So it'd be Chase at 40.2, Jefferson at 35, CeeDee Lamb at 34, and then McLaurin at 33. That might be, according to Schefter, what he's asking for, over 30. Guys that are in that over 30 range are A.J. Brown, who I think is better than McLaurin, and nobody would dispute that. That's 32 per year, so the team could hold that against him. Tyreek Hill at $30 million per year is it? Problem child and the guy you don't want in your locker room, but he's been a way more impactful player.
You're removed from 1,800 yards.
Right. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk, $30 million. I think Terry could make the case.
Good
he's
comp there,
every
yeah.
bit as good. That's part of why I think this market, as I look at it right now, Danny, is so complicated.
Yes.
Because there's normally the money is a lot closer to like quality in a ranking, and this is not the case. It's kind of staggered where Hill and Ayuk make the same money. T. Higgins makes less than A.J. Brown by, or rather D.K. Metcalf by like $4 million. I mean, it's just more complicated, I think, than a lot of other positions because of that. But if we're going by these numbers, and this is how we could set this up maybe on the phones, we can open them up at 800-636-1067 for you guys, where Schefter's saying the team's probably looking at Evans making 24.5 this year, and the AAVs there are like Nico Collins, who's awesome, makes 24.3. Devontae Smith, number two because of A.J. Brown, but really good player, makes 25 mil. DJ Moore makes 27.5. So they're going, that's a range where we could work. And McLaurin's saying he wants 6-7 million more maybe than where they're talking about. It's not as easy. You could split the difference when you're 2-3 million apart.
Yeah.
If I'm saying I'll pay you 24, 25, and you're saying I want 33, well, it's not as easy to pay you 4 million more against the cap. That's a big, big number. That's a few starters. So that's the issue they're having. But whose side would you be on to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day if it's 24 versus 32 or something like that?
Right. I mean, to me, I'll root for the team after Terry McLaurin doesn't play here anymore. I mean, that's kind of my default. Now, with a given person, with a given player, I'm all in favor of guys doing everything they can to get as much as they can for the limited windows they're allowed to get it, right? Take your bites at the apple, do your thing, almost always favor player over management, just in an individual dispute, because the team, management, whatever, can cut you the first instant you're not useful. The first moment they go, you know what? You didn't do anything wrong, but we don't like you anymore. You don't have a guaranteed contract. You're out of here. It's cheaper to us to pay a few million dollars in dead cap money than to have you around. So guys get cast aside. So in general, I advocate for player. But to me, at a certain point, I got to field a roster of 53, and this is bigger than you. And I love Terry McLaurin. This is not indicting him in any way. This is not negative against him at all. But if it's too much, you know, that's a concern, I guess, for lack of a better way to say
it. But if he's not asking, I'm just going to assume he's not asking for 40. And he's asking for 32 in a world where DK Metcalf makes 33. That shouldn't be too much necessarily, right? I mean, I'm not telling you it's good business. I don't think the contract in the end will be good. And maybe right there what I just said is enough for you to say, then they shouldn't do it. But I do think this one is harder than that. They're not paying Deebo Samuel. If Deebo Samuel was McLaurin in terms of the production in San Francisco and kind of the same exact guy going into this final year of the deal, and we were having the debate, it would be really easy for me where I go, no, I'm not paying you. Sorry, that's bad business. But this is not that. This is the team building the culture around this identity of this create a player that they've kind of said is a commander. And the personification of that is Terry McLaurin. If you get out of the video game of what we want a commander to be, on day one, Dan Quinn points at the board. Here's our vision for a commander. It's just Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, it's a mannequin of Terry McLaurin.
That's what it is. It's a installation made out of string in a Dick's Sporting Goods in the stadium in the concourse level of Terry McLaurin, right? I think the team is right if those are the numbers that the two sides are on. He is more of a $25 million a year wide receiver than he is a $34 million a year wide receiver based on the market. There's no doubt in my mind. But is being right going to do damage? This could be a situation where standing your ground actually hurts you a little bit. You know, if you're a head coach of some youth team and you preach for a month, we're not cutting anybody. And if you eat clean and you show up early, you make the team. That's all it takes. I don't care how good you are. Eat clean. We're going to have a nutritionist that's going to, you know, do a food journal with you. And you show up every single day early, you'll be on this roster. And then the guy that ate the cleanest and lost the most weight and showed up the earliest doesn't make the team. It probably isn't really good for culture building and morale.
Totally.
And that's the part I do worry about here that goes outside of these numbers.
That all makes sense to me. There still has to be, and again, I don't know the answer to this. There still has to be a point where you don't just get to write down any number you want. There has to be a walk away point. And how to navigate that to everything that you just said is the challenge. It's why it's sometimes really, really hard to be a general manager. And by all accounts, Peters, Newmark, and company have navigated these sorts of things very, very well in terms of making everybody feel welcome, part of it, contracts, treating people really, you know, decently, just going above and beyond. But still, when you get to a point, if like, you know, the agent probably is going, all right, how about 38? How about 37 or whatever? And the team's going, no, that's ridiculous. Okay, then we can't talk anymore. So who knows who's driving it? But there has to be a point where you say, we think all these things too. And we know this would do some damage. But these demands are so, I don't know, it negates our ability to add talent in a window that's going to be wide open starting in 2026, 27, and beyond.
The best GMs are GMs that can tell the owner no. When the owner, who's a fan, says,
yeah,
we need this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't give Strasburg $245 million with his arm history at his age. You know, that's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having a convo about Kobe Bryant after his Achilles. And it was insane to me to kind of do what they did moving forward from a just
team building, yeah,
robotic standpoint. This does not make sense. But I know at the time, everyone's point was, well, that's not how this works. It's Kobe Bryant. He's Mr. Laker. Look at the championships. And Terry McLaurin, who has no hardware outside of, you know, a run through the playoffs last year to the NFC title game when he was unbelievable. This is nothing like that, right? I'm not suggesting that. But I guess my point is, it's real easy for me years ago to say, you got to be a robot. That isn't the way sports work, which are about people and locker rooms work. So the question for you guys is, if we're going to go with some of Schefter's numbers and suggest McLaurin wants somewhere between $32 and $33 million, something like that, and the team wants him down closer to $25 million, and they're at a standoff where they're not close, who would you side with? And could you take the front office's side again? A lot of you have just decided, we're not questioning anything or anybody because they're really good at what they do. But now, your favorite player is involved.